You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 31st of December 2024. Later, we'll take a look at the way superannuation funds performed in 2024 with Kirby Rappel from Super Ratings. But first, to the Australian share market. It was a shortened trading day today because it was the final day of the year. The S&P ASX 200 tumbling 0.9% to 8,159. The silver lining, though, is that for the year, the Australian share market rose. The S&P ASX 200 up 7.5%. The information technology sector up 50%, the major performer there, followed by financials, meaning the banks did particularly well. Financials up 28% and consumer discretionary 21% firmer. The worst performing sector over the past 12 months, energy down 18%. So for a look at the year that was and the opportunities for investors in 2025, I spoke with Mark Gardner, the CEO of MPC Markets. Looking back at 2024, what do you see as the biggest market moving events?
So the biggest market moving event for traders or the financial markets professionals was that yen carry trade, obviously, in August, which came and went really quickly and caused one of the biggest spikes in volatility in history. But that's a lot more about institutional money flow than anything else. But as far as investors are concerned, obviously, the Trump trade was very positive in terms of having all three branches of government there in the US. So there's optimism into next year. He's obviously, pro on reducing regulation, et cetera, as well. So that has obviously really benefited the financials and, the likes of Tesla, with obviously Elon being the, Elon being his part-time running mate, essentially, that lower bar of regulation coming through will obviously help a lot of the initiatives he's doing as well. So I don't think that's going to flow through into next year necessarily. Trump being as erratic as he is, it could actually cause, a lot of geopolitical bumps in the road over the course of the next 12 months. So that positivity may turn around when he actually gets inaugurated around about January the 12th. And we do have a debt ceiling issue raised by Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary in the US, in the coming days, which will actually arise before Trump gets in around about potentially January the 14th, where they've got to address the debt ceiling again. So I think we probably need to look past the Trump inauguration and see how those proposed tariffs and fairly wild policies that he suggested are actually going to play out.
You mentioned briefly that the ASX returned around about 8% over the year. Should investors be happy with that?
I think that's around about the average. I think that's a fairly decent result, particularly considering the resources sector this year, which is a very large chunk of our index, has been fairly depressed due to China struggling to get back on its feet. We obviously had the announcement of what the markets were calling, or financial pundits were calling, the stimulus bazooka, but which didn't really materialise. It was much more targeted at reducing local government debt, et cetera, and aimed at the consumer. But I think the wording from the PBOC saying they're going to have looser fiscal policy in 2025, which is the first time they've changed that wording in 14 years, means that they're very open to more stimulus in the new year. So I think you might see that sector of the market particularly start to pick up, whereas you may see the likes of the financials and the consumer discretionary stocks, which have done incredibly well this year, probably stagnate or potentially pull back a little bit over the course of the year. So I think we'll essentially be, that'll give us some resilience, because a big sector of our market hasn't really performed this year and we've still managed to get 8%. So I think that makes us a little bit more resilient for the new year, because we are coming off the resources and materials sectors, particularly with the, AI infrastructure being built, energy transition, et cetera. I think you'll start to see commodity prices head higher. And that's a very large chunk of our index in the likes of BHP, Rio, Fortescue, et cetera, that will start to see an uplift.
A lot of talk about the direction of interest rates this year. You also mentioned commodities for next year as well. We saw that commodity price ease off a bit during the year. What about the Australian dollar, though? Because it's been trading relatively low against the US.
It has, and that's been more around US dollar strength. As I mentioned before, essentially there's a bit of patriotism and a bit of optimism around Trump, obviously coming into power, and it is quite healthy for a system, a political system, to get things done when they do hold all three branches of government, because they're not continually, they're not continually arguing to get things through. You'll actually see policies get put in place and things progress. Obviously, they're talking about tariffs, etc. But the Federal Reserve recently said there'll be less cuts next year, which brings up what's called the terminal rate in interest rates. So we're not expecting as interest rates to bottom out as low. So that's helped the US dollar strength. So I don't think it's necessarily an Aussie dollar weakness story, although demand from China being a little bit weak doesn't help the Aussie dollar there as well. But look, we are a net exporter, and apart from if you're going on holidays, it's actually not necessarily a bad thing, and can actually buffer us in a weaker global economy being considered a risk currency, because our commodities, which will be the thing that helps drag us out of any sort of economic slowdown, will actually be cheaper to the rest of the world.
All right, I want you to put your or bring out your crystal ball. I know a lot of people don't like doing that, right? But what do you see as the key investment themes for 2025?
As I touched on before, I think the AI thematic's been incredible the last couple of years. We've had the best two-year period in the US market since the mid-90s. So statistically, we're probably not going to see another 20% year over there. But I think the AI or the Magnificent Seven companies that have had all of the benefit and the tailwinds this year on the AI thematic will probably start to then have to build out the infrastructure to support those, support those chips and those semiconductors. So I think the likes of data centers and powering those data centers as well, I think you'll see nuclear start to come back. We've already seen Microsoft and Amazon start to make investments in there. That's a positive thing for the Australian market, because we've got a lot of uranium miners, we've got a lot of copper miners, et cetera. Obviously, one of the biggest copper miners in the world being BHP. As far as that AI thematic as well, the companies that start to monetize at this stage, we haven't seen a lot of those companies monetize the new technology and the new tools. So I think this year will be a real test of whether, as we saw back in 2001 with the tech bubble, the market very much got ahead of itself in terms of how much money we were going to, companies were going to make out of it. The market tends to price in things happening a lot faster than what the real world can actually progress these things. So I think that might be a real test. And I think geopolitics is going to be a huge factor this year as well. You obviously got US debt is in, rising at about $1 trillion every 100 days. That has to be addressed. And we may actually see that people, you've seen the rise of the BRICS coalition, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, have 27 other countries come to the meeting this year. They are concerned about the US debt as well, and they're trying to de-dollarize in a way. And I think Trump talking tough on tariffs and affecting other countries' markets and protectionism may start to see a little bit of instability in supply chains and resources and things. So there's a lot to be careful. There's a lot to be careful or wary about. But I think if you've got a fairly solid plan and you know what the risks are, it could actually be a lot of opportunities coming into 2025. I think gold, silver and precious metals generally will probably see another decent year, just on the back of that potential instability coming out of the US and the US dollar peeling back a little bit if they don't address that US dollar issue, US debt issue.
So just finally then, as an investor, are you excited about 2025?
Absolutely. But I think what you need to take into account is the sectors that have done very well this year are probably unlikely to be the same sectors that do well in the coming year. So I think at this stage, you've had a fantastic two-year run where the market's really rallied 8% plus both years. If you've been on the hot sectors, you've made very good money. But these stretches do statistically tend to not last much longer than a couple of years. So I think be excited about rebalancing your portfolio and making sure you're taking profits, et cetera, where you need to, and going into what the next phase of investment themes. But there's a lot of exciting things happening. Within volatility, there is quite often a lot of opportunity. You just have to probably be a little bit more organized and a little bit more finger on the pulse and watching things a little bit more closely this year, because I don't think you'll just have that linear grind higher. I think all bar January and February this year, we've basically been in the green. I think we will still likely be up around about the single digits mark, but it could be a road full of potholes, if you know what I mean. So it's probably worthwhile just being a little bit more prepared as opposed to the last couple of years.
Mark Gardner there from MPC Markets, taking a look back at the year that was on the share market and the opportunities in 2025. Now, a very quick look at the implications for superannuation and growing share markets both here and overseas are predicted to have helped super funds deliver double-digit returns in 2024. Researchers at Super Ratings say the median balanced option likely grew by 11.5%. For more, I spoke with Kirby Rappel, Executive Director at Super Ratings. Kirby, how would you describe super fund performance in 2024? Should investors be happy and why?
Look, I think 2024 has been actually really reassuring and pretty pleasing. So this year's return is probably nearly double the average. And I think it's probably a really welcome surprise in some uncertain times.
So run us through what exactly drove those gains.
Look, overall, 2024 has been a great year for super. For 11 of the past 12 months, we've seen a positive return, ending up with a return of about 11.5% for the year. And that's really been driven by equities. So shares in Australia and overseas have had a really strong year. I think overall, everyone's had a pretty good ride.
Okay, I guess the key thing, and as we know, the future performance isn't necessarily the indicative of what's happening right now when it comes to super, but when you look through to the new year, 2025, what do you see as the key risks and what's your message to investors?
I think the key risk for 2025 is that there's inflationary pressures brewing, which could either see some increases in interest rates or slower decreases in interest rates coming through that may disrupt things. I think we've had a really nice ride. I think the risk is it's hard to keep it up. But I think if you look back over the past 25 years of super, it's delivered nearly 7% per annum, which is actually a pretty great outcome.
That's Kirby Rappel there from Super Ratings. That wraps the podcast for today and for the year. Don't forget, if you enjoy what you're listening to give us a review or a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you use to stream this podcast. Talk to you soon.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.